Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary. It's my pleasure to join you on this thankful Tuesday, May 27th. What are you thankful for? A person, place, thing, attribute of God? I want to hear from you. So if you would text me or call me, send me a message, and I'd like to share what you're thankful for on the podcast. I won't have to share your name unless you give me permission. But this week, as I was thinking about what I'm thankful for, one thing that came to my mind is my teeth. I'm so thankful that I have my teeth. I envisioned my front teeth being knocked out. I hope that was not some kind of omen. And I was just like, Lord, thank you for my teeth. And then I also thought about how the Lord provides for us those little provisions that seem minute in the minute, but maybe they just even shift the whole trajectory of our lives. For example, Wayne and I knew a gentleman in our Sunday school class in seminary, and because of him, we're now at Mountain Brook Baptist. And so I'm thankful for his provision along the way. Do you know our memory verse yet? Do you want to practice it? Even if you don't, here we go. It's John chapter 15, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Our first passage is Matthew chapter 27, verses 27 through 44, and I'm reading in the New International Reader's Version. The first title says, "The Soldiers Make Fun of Jesus." We are in the portion of Matthew's Gospel where Jesus has been brought to Pilate, and now the governor has given Jesus over to the soldiers. The governor's soldiers took Jesus into the palace, which is called the Praetorium. All the rest of the soldiers gathered around him. They took off his clothes and put on a purple robe. Then they twisted thorns together to make a crown. They placed it on his head. They put a stick in his right hand. Then they fell on their knees in front of him and made fun of him. "We honor you, King of the Jews," they said. They spit on him. They hit him on the head with the stick again and again. After they had made fun of him, they took off the robe. They put his own clothes back on him. Then they led him away to nail him to the cross. On their way out of the city, they met a man from Cyrene. His name was Simon. They forced him to carry the cross. They came to the place called Golgotha. The word Golgotha means place of the skull. There they mixed wine with bitter spices and gave it to Jesus to drink. After tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had nailed him to the cross, they divided up his clothes and cast lots. They sat down and kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed the written charge against him. It read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Two rebels against Rome were crucified with him, one on his right and one was on his left. Those who passed by shouted at Jesus and made fun of him. They shook their heads and said, "So you are going to destroy the temple and build it again in 3 days? Then save yourself. Come down from that cross if you are the Son of God." In the same way, the chief priest, the teachers of the law, and the elders made fun of him. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross. Then we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. He's the one who said, 'I am the Son of God.'" In the same way, the rebels who were being crucified with Jesus also made fun of him. I think we read the corresponding passage to this in Mark's gospel last Wednesday, and I told you how difficult it was for me to read it. I notice here so much of what happened on this day seems just crazy that they would make fun of our Lord. But Jesus was silent. He didn't make rebuttals, which is so difficult for us, right, when we're being made fun of. But he went to the cross because he'd already settled it with the Lord that if the cup could be taken from him, that the Lord would take it. But it was made clear that he was to die for our sins. And so, Lord Jesus, we are so grateful. Let's move on over now to Luke's gospel, to the first chapter, and we're in verses 26 through 38 today. This is about Mary being visited by an angel as well. In the sixth month after Elizabeth had become pregnant, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. He was sent to a virgin. The girl was engaged to a man named Joseph. He came from the family line of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel greeted her and said, "The Lord has blessed you in a special way. He is with you." Mary was very upset because of his words. She wondered what this greeting could be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. God is very pleased with you. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son. You must call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will make him a king like his father David of long ago. The Son of the Most High God will rule forever over his people. They are from the family line of Jacob. That kingdom will never end." "How can this happen?" Mary asked the angel. "I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come to you. The power of the Most High God will cover you. So the Holy One that is born will be called the Son of God. Your relative Elizabeth will have a child, even though she is old. People thought she could not have children, but she has been pregnant for 6 months now. That's because what God says will always come true." "I serve the Lord," Mary answered. "May it happen to me just as you said it would." Then the angel left her. Let's read verse 37 again. "That's because what God says will always come true." We thank you, Lord, for your character. We see right here, you are truthful, you are faithful, and you will forever keep your promises. Okay, let's turn on over to the Proverbs chapter 27 today and verse 3. "Stones are heavy and sand weighs a lot, but letting a foolish person make you angry is a heavier load than both of them." So I guess what he's saying here is don't let foolish people make you angry. Remember, they're fools. And they're not going to listen to our rebuke, and us getting angry about what they say or do is not going to help the situation. If you have a different take on that proverb, let me know. I want to move on, though, to thanking you for being present with me today on this Thankful Tuesday, and also to our Thankful Fours: person, place, a thing, and an attribute of God that you're thankful for. Remember, text me, call me, let me know what you think of today. Will you pray with me? Father, we want to thank you for the big things in life and also for the little small things. We thank you for the gifts that we see. And we also thank you, Lord, for the gifts that are unseen. We thank you, Lord, for a person today. Someone who has impacted our lives. We also thank you for a place that could be anything, a place in our house, a place at our work, somewhere that has been a gift to us. Lord, we thank you for something. Today it's my teeth. Lord, help us to be grateful for the small things in life. And finally, Lord, we thank you for an attribute of your character. We see here when the angel speaks to Mary that you are faithful and you make your promises come true. We thank you for that. One promise that I'm reminded of is that you never leave us or forsake us. What a blessing, Lord. We give you thanks. Bless my brothers and sisters today. Help us to see the world through lenses of gratitude and as conduits of the love and grace we have received from Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.